The Buck Sexton Show.
Are you looking to save 50, 60, even 70% on your phone bill? Well, here's a tip. Broadvoice.com. Hi, it's Brad Staggs of Blaze TV here. Broadvoice offers high-quality phone service for only $8.95 a month. You may ask, how can I save so much money? What's the catch? Well, the secret is the technology. Broadvoice uses VoIP technology that takes analog audio signals from your phone, turns them into digital data, and then transfers them over the internet. This means crystal clear sound and cheaper phone bills. Broadvoice has been ranked in the Deloitte Technology Fast 500 and Inc. 500 as one of the fastest growing private companies in America. Get Broadvoice right now for only $8.95 a month. Keep your existing phone number for free, and Broadvoice will send you their easy plug-in adapter free. All this, and you get unlimited local calling for just $8.95 a month. Plus, for a limited time, Broadvoice will even give you your first month free. Do what we did here at Blaze Radio. Make the switch today at broadvoice.com or call 888-332-8036. 888-332-8036.
You are entering the Blaze Threat Ops Center. This is a secure space. All outside comms are down. Prepare to receive the bug brief.
"16 airstrikes have destroyed, quote, key sites in ISIS stronghold of Raqqa." This in Syria, the de facto capital, the capital, I should say, of the Islamic State, which more and more is going to be called a state because it operates and acts like one. So we can say it's not as long as we want if it acts like a state, walks like a state, talks like a state. So we had 16 airstrikes. These, according to Fox News, reported late Saturday and early Sunday, triggering successive explosions that shook the city and created panic among residents. The significant airstrikes tonight were executed to deny Daesh the ability to move military capabilities throughout Syria and into Iraq. That was Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Gillerin in a statement in which he used the Arabic acronym Daesh for the Islamic State. They said it's one of the largest deliberate engagements executed in Syria to date, and it will have a debilitating effect on ISIS's ability to move from Raqqa. Let's talk about this for a minute, my friends. Okay, why have we waited until now for 16 airstrikes against Raqqa? Explain this to me. There's a city that is in the hands of the enemy. The city is the heart and soul of their expansionist caliphate operation. And 16 airstrikes, here we are now over a year into this whole thing, 16 airstrikes is apparently a death blow to their ability to move out of the city, or at least a hammer blow, or think of something scary sounding. Why have we waited until now to do this? They hit a brick factory. There were some other things, too, that they did here. They hit a bunch. They hit a checkpoint. By the way, hitting checkpoints never means really anything. Checkpoints can be rebuilt in a day. And any of you who served over there know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, the idea that, we had a significant strike against a checkpoint, that's not going to make much difference. Large parts of an ISIS brick. I'm looking at the targets here. And the targets are the sort of things that you hit that can easily be rebuilt, and that I don't see how this has a major impact on the ability of the Islamic State to move into or out of Raqqa. But the bigger question is, why do we wait until now to do this? What has changed? Why slow roll this whole thing? Is the purpose to wait until we have great partners on the ground with the Kurds, and there's all sorts of problems there, and what arms we'll even let get to the Kurds, and how slowly we've operated there for the Free Syrian Army, which doesn't even really exist these days. It barely does anything. For the Iraqi government, led by Shia militias when it comes to their military response, we're waiting for them to get their act together, and then we're gonna start throwing haymakers at the Islamic State? Right now, it's just jab, jab, jab. When do we go big? When do we try to do something that will really put them back on their heels? I don't know. I think the administration is unwilling to do what it takes here. And as importantly, by the way, unwilling to be honest about that fact. You can tell me that you think ISIS is not really our problem and it's their fight and we should just try to lock down the U.S. You can hold that position and be intellectually consistent, and you can argue that point, and people do. But you can't tell me that ISIS is a threat to the homeland, that ISIS is trying to attack us, that ISIS is a strategic threat to our interests in the Middle East and to our allies, but we should just try this death by a thousand tiny cuts strategy against them. One airstrike at a time. It's just not going to work. It's not serious. So that's, you can't tell me that that's going to have the intended outcome, which is to degrade and destroy the Islamic State. That's not our policy. Our policy is wait and see. and 16 airstrikes, you're going to tell me that they control a third of Iraq and Syria. You think 16 airstrikes is really going to cut it? I mean, we're not dropping nukes, my friends. 16 airstrikes is not that much. So explain to me how this, we have the, now the Pentagon coming out, they're telling us, oh no, this is really doing it. I just don't believe it. I think this is, the timing of this is interesting to me. Right around the 4th of July holiday, they're telling us terrorism, terrorism, terrorism. As I told you, I wrote on CNN, I said, is this hyped? The answer is yes. And other analysts, by the way, went on TV, went on CNN, went in other places too, and said, oh no, it's not hype, this is the real threat. Well, you know, I can always say that, too, and get attention, right? You can always go on TV and say, oh, Lord, this is where we're going to get hit. It's imminent, and it doesn't happen, and nobody blames you because, well, I'm just being responsible and warning. At what point does warning become irresponsible? At what point is that something that we can talk about? If you're going to warn, tell us what you're warning about. Don't just say, oh, no, bad things can happen. Got the color-coded system that we got rid of years ago because it was so preposterous. 5 different colors. Are we at a green? Are we at a yellow? Or are we kind of at like a blue stage in the terror? No, we're green-blue? Do we have a sort? Is it like aquamarine or is it like a hunter green? I'm confused. Yeah, I was confused too. So was the Department of Homeland Security. So they got rid of that ridiculous color-coded system. And now we just have the, oh, terror threat. But I do think it's interesting that these strikes, which we're being told, are going to cripple ISIS's operational capabilities around Raqqa, happen right when there's this sort of moment of national attention, as the journalists all go away for the weekend, myself included. We have this moment of national attention on the threat to the homeland, and so they drop a bunch more bombs. This feels a little manufactured. This feels a little bit like they were just trying to make it seem like they're doing something against ISIS, when in reality, this is a stand-back operation. This is drop some bombs and just hope that nothing happens. And I just cannot believe that there's not more of a groundswell of criticism from the American people about, just be honest with us. Tell the administration, be honest with us. Are you really trying to destroy the Islamic State? Are you hoping it burns itself out and you don't want to risk U.S. troops? If you don't want to risk U.S. troops, if you say this isn't our problem, take that position, defend that position, let the American people decide the wisdom of that at the time of elections. But no, we're going to destroy ISIS to the minimum. We're going to take the fight to them. A couple strikes. Which is it? I am familiar with the different policy options here. I knew what it was like in a very granular day-to-day fashion. I was over there when we had over 150,000 U.S. troops on the ground trying to pacify just Iraq during an insurgency. I know the resources involved. I know the sorts of threats that we face on the ground, that our troops face. I understand. I saw it. I was there. And yet, the administration pretends like we have no sense of what the realities are here, what's really possible, that they can manage to destroy ISIS without putting anyone in harm's way. That's just a lie. You can say you don't want to put our troops in harm's way, or you can say you want to destroy ISIS. You can't say both. But they're just trying to sort of slither down the middle on this policy. Just try to avoid repercussions here at home while they keep the borders wide open and the Supreme Court destroys what remaining freedoms we have. That's what's really happening here. While we're being told this, that these strikes are a real sea change. This is really going to, all this going to shake things up. All the Islamic State, they're all sitting there. We can't handle these strikes. While this is going on. And of course, there were civilian casualties, and the Islamic State is pointing those out. And that's another aspect of this, too. It was a lot. The left had a field day, had a good time pointing out all the civilian casualties in the Iraq war with Bush. And yet we don't hear very much about the 250,000 dead in Syria, because we say, oh, well, that's not our problem. It's not our fault. Well, the Syrian people probably disagree. We don't hear about this. And also the recognition that there will be, to take action means that there are going to be mistakes. There's going to be collateral damage. War is a messy, destructive, and terrible business. And if you want to destroy the Islamic State, it means you're going to pull civilians out of rubble. That's what it means. That's what an honest commander-in-chief would tell you, and he would act as such. If you want to defeat ISIS, it means you're going to kill people that have no part in ISIS's fight. They don't. They wish ISIS was gone, or they're just trying to go about their daily lives, and that's terrible. But you make the calculation that ISIS continuing to kill more and more people is a greater evil. That is a mature, adult view of what's going on in the Middle East. But this administration wants to pretend that it's just all ponies, unicorns, ice cream sundaes. That there's a way to sort of just do a little bit and we'll eventually defeat them. It's a lie. While all this is happening, by the way, ISIS is breaking out the tactics that have been used and popularized, I should say, in the public consciousness, meaning that we're familiar with them because of some of the activities in the various civil wars in Africa, including the tactics used in the by the Lord's Resistance Army, using child soldiers and making children engage in brutality and even in executions as a means of dehumanizing them and mobilizing your own little army of brainwashed children who have been forced to bloody their hands and after that have had their humanity stolen from them and march around like little executioners. The Islamic State is doing that. They released a video over the weekend where they lined up a number of whatever, apostates, people from different factions or militaries, doesn't matter. They lined up adults. They had children, young children, 11, 12, 13 years old, it looks like from the photos, take out AK-47s and execute them right there on video. This is a terrorist group, a terrorist society, a terrorist state that has control over millions of people. Whether it totally controls them or has their support is a bigger discussion, but at least exercises de facto control over a few million people. And they are turning, not only are they bringing terrorists from around the world to flock to their banner, but they are turning children into instruments of terror, dehumanizing them in the process, stealing from them everything that is human about them in the sense that they can feel others' pain and have an understanding of what they're doing. And it's not their fault. These children are being forced to do this. They are being brainwashed. They're doing it at the threat of their own execution, creating a society of Islamic fascists and monsters. And this is springing up in the Middle East, and this is not going away. And 16 airstrikes is supposed to be the antidote. Someone just needs to tell the Obama administration, somebody needs to tell President Obama, get serious. We can all see what's going on here, okay? The game is up. But no. Much more important things to do. It must do damage control on Hillary corralling reporters like a bunch of livestock. That's more important. That's more important than looking at how Obama's dealing with among the greatest threats to our existence in the world today, the rise of Islamic fascism.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-630-6720. That's 800-630-6720.